Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hour number three here on WEEI Afternoons. Thanks so much for joining us just after 4 o'clock here on December the 27th, 2024. No Christian Arcan, no Andy Hart, but the trio getting you towards the weekend. Dan Ball, Tom Carroll, Joe Weil, thanks so much for being with us here on this Friday. We also got our good friend Tom Cristofiulli behind the glass with the tunes all day today, I might add. And some very nice top of hour reads, which we appreciate. But we'll transition back to football as the Patriots get ready for their game against the Los Angeles Chargers tomorrow. But Joe, something that you teed up on yesterday's show that we didn't get a chance to get to, but we've been discussing a bit off air, that I think is an interesting exercise to contextualize where Patriots fans are right now. A list of teams, or the amount of teams, I should say, that ends up being in list form, in which their situation you feel is not as good as where the Patriots are right now. So how many, when you were doing this exercise for yourself before we go through the list, how far down the dregs of the NFL were you able to get in this?
All right, so I have nine teams.
Nine teams.
And I'm going to change this a little bit from what I originally had. I have seven I feel very confident saying that the Patriots situation is better, but I obviously want to hear your guys' possible disagreements on those.
Yep.
One probably and one maybe.
One probably, one maybe. Okay.
All right, so are we ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Let's go. All right, the seven teams that I would take the Patriots situation over, without a doubt, Jets.
Yes.
Oh, check. Yeah.
Browns.
Yes.
If Deshaun Watson didn't exist, there was a conversation there, but that is one of the worst albatross contracts, I would say, in the history of sports.
That's really the only reason why I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Because they have good defensive talent. They just haven't been healthy all year on both sides of the ball. I mean, you saw what Judy is. The guy actually can ball.
Right, if you actually have a quarterback that can throw to
exactly
him.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson completely ruins that situation, so yes.
All right, so that's two. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Give me your rationale on
that.
My rationale
on that is they're going to fire Doug Peterson.
Yep.
I'm not sure Trevor Lawrence is him or it or even good anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that if you are the Patriots, you feel better because you feel more secure that your quarterback can be the guy than a guy down in Jacksonville that has been inconsistent. Like, we have enough of a sample size to see now that the guy isn't an elite quarterback. And maybe he still takes that one extra step that he needs to be that guy. But all the smart people leading up to the draft that had anything negative to say about Trevor Lawrence, because look, he was being heralded as like this next Andrew Luck type thing, but it was always like, but if there's one thing you could say, it was always that there was a little bit of a disconnect when it came to processing and that type of thing kind of in game. And that makes sense that at the college level, a guy like that is going to flourish because of the way they call plays. And so my feeling and my thought is that Trevor Lawrence never got there where a guy like Andrew Luck is just a savant on that level, right? So Drake May has shown that he has made steady improvement on that. And everything you hear internally is that he is leaps and bounds better from day one than he is than where he is now. So that's why I'm going, yes, Patriots in a better position than Jacksonville, even though they have some pieces that I like better.
They do have a wide receiver. Like, I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. is incredible.
Absolute
yes,
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But then again, if you're figuring out and you're not sure, despite the contract, who you want throwing him the football,
yeah,
with it not as bad in both in terms of contract and the guy you're dealing with as in Cleveland, but you're starting to get towards albatross contract for your quarterback territory, which
absolutely.
Is a, which is a that's a game ruiner in the NFL.
Totally.
That's something that is very hard to come back from. And I'm realizing a couple teams into your exercise how much work Drake May is doing just when it comes to the perception of Patriots.
Correct.
And justifiably, I'm not even saying it's wrong. You look at cap space and a quarterback with fully established coaches and teams and things like that and go, no, I'd rather have the one known and the mass amount of unknowns than what I know with a team like Jacksonville, because what I know stinks. So I'm observing how much goodwill Drake May, given his development, is doing for Patriots fans. So, it's a long way of saying yeah.
He's going to be the tiebreaker on almost all
of these. And you think about it, too. He is saving so much, you know, for this organization. Because without him, they have nothing really to bank on. But as you just pointed out, Dan, and that's where I'm at, too. Like, I'm that way with, because you have him, I like the upside of the situation a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right, so that's three. So, again.
Wait, Joe, before you keep going, take this call.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to hear this one right now?
I'm curious why he wants us to.
All right. Jimmy's in Stoneham. Jimmy, what's up with our takes on Drake May?
Just stop it already. We're going to set ourselves back another 5 years if we keep saying Drake May is the guy, because he's not the guy.
Why is he not the guy?
We're 3-12, guys, for crying out loud.
Yeah, the team stinks.
But, Jimmy, when you watch the games, are you thinking that Drake May is the reason why we're 3-why New England is 3-12?
He's as good as – he's as much a reason as anybody. He's the quarterback.
Okay. All right.
I mean, look at the guy – look at Dallas. The guy's 5-1 for crying out loud. I mean, Dallas sucks. They've lost everybody. They're depleted from top – you know, we're 3-12, guys.
So for you, Jimmy, wins and losses are a quarterback stat in your mind, basically.
Well, they're more than 75% of it. I mean, if a good quarterback can win a few games here and there.
So
we're just this guy. He is not the guy. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
So
I mean,
all right, Jimmy, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. And look, I understand the turnovers are concerning. I understand that there are rookie mistakes that you're seeing from this guy. And I don't think I'm going to get any disagreement at the table, but don't the positives vastly outweigh the negatives, given both the fact that he's a rookie, the fact that your wide receiving core is what it is, and we just spent a segment
on
Jalen Cole.
And the offensive line is what
And the offensive line, he gets pressured 38% of the time is what we read yesterday.
I think if you're watching the Patriots this season and you can't separate the fact that they are losing all these games from the upside that we've seen from Drake May and the development that we've seen from Drake May and his playmaking ability, then you're just being dishonest. You're just looking for the easy out of, oh, we stink, must be our quarterback. That's not what's going on here.
Right.
You got to use some nuance here when you watch Drake May do his thing and see a loss on the scoreboard. They're different things. I mean, that play, I keep thinking about that little pop pass to Demario Douglas at the front of the end zone there against Arizona. You know, when the game seems out of reach and he's just throwing the ball downfield and late touch. I mean, the guy can make plays like no quarterback that since Tom Brady has been able to in New England.
All right, we're going back to the lines for a voice of reason. Jeff is in New Hampshire. Yes, Jeff.
Hi, I just had to respond to that intellectual Jimmy who just called you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you cannot see the obvious talent and ability that May has comparative to, for instance, Jones, then I honestly do not know what you're looking at. He is able to make plays that haven't been able to be made in our organization since I've been, I don't even know when. So with that being said, he can make the throws, he can make the runs. He has no one to throw to other than Henry. That guy, Jimmy, should be banned from radio. He's the human on earth.
We got to get Jeff in here.
That's good.
Thanks, Jeff. How about Jeff, ladies and gentlemen? Absolutely.
No, he's right. It's funny because Drew Bledsoe was a great quarterback until he wasn't, and then Brady took over, and Brady was amazing for 20 years. Neither one of those guys can do some of the stuff that Drake May's doing. I write about this in my ups and downs column on Sunday after the game. You guys should check that out.
Hey now, where can we check that out?
On WEEI.com.
Beautiful.
I consistently use the made-up adjective Mahomesian to describe some of these plays from May.
Oh, here's a guy.
And I'm not calling him Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Please know that.
I'll tell you.
This guy looks like Patrick Mahomes.
He's doing things that Patrick Mahomes does.
Okay.
Which is when you think something is about to happen and then the exact opposite thing happens. That's Drake May. Like, one of my favorite plays from May this season was against Chicago, which was a great game for New England. He's running out of bounds. You think he's about to just take the 1 yard sack or the, you know, 0 yard gain or just wing it out of the back of the end zone. And at the very last second, he just turned his hips and whipped the ball, like seemingly with just his wrist, like 30 yards down the field and almost had a touchdown right on the sideline.
Yeah.
And that's just pure instinct, pure athleticism. And again, if you can't see that and recognize that this dude is awesome, I just don't know what you're watching, or maybe football's new to you.
Right. No, that's,
and I'm not trying to be mean.
No, but it's, I mean, that's, I think it's that obvious.
Right.
I think it hits you dead on in the face when you're watching. And of all the issues to pick apart on this team, that's last, quite honestly.
Without a doubt.
Or second to last, depending on where you put Christian Gonzalez.
No, without a doubt, because, I mean, and you guys have hit on it perfectly here, because you just watch the plays that he makes within this offense and all of the lack of talent that is around him. Yes, you have Hunter Henry is a solid player, and obviously he's become his security blanket in a lot of ways, but it just stands out when you're watching it. Like, okay, this guy's making things happen in a way that not a lot of rookies can do, and it just makes you salivate about like what this could look like in the future if you actually surround them with consistent NFL talent.
Right, and before we get to these next couple calls here, the Hunter Henry point is great, because Hunter Henry is a good tight end. He's probably a top half tight end, right? Good, solid NFL player, good veteran. He's had some really highs in his career. I think he's great. So Drake May doing that with Hunter Henry, what could he be doing with guys a tier above Hunter Henry? And this is why, and I know we're probably not going to get into a ton of draft conversation here, but that's why I'm going with Travis Hunter at number two, if that's where the Patriots are ultimately selecting.
Okay.
Because I think that if you get Drake May some true tier one playmakers, this dude could be unleashed in year two. So, look, they got to get him some protection, and I think that maybe the rest of the draft, you focus on that. You try and bring in some talent via free agency. Maybe there's trades that lead to offensive linemen coming here. I don't know how you do it. I haven't really sat down and mapped that out yet. I haven't gone onto Pat's Cap, the Twitter feed, and dialed it all in.
Right.
But that's why I'm going with the Tyreek Hill ceiling player at number two for Drake May, and just let them cook.
Let him cook. Okay.
Let him cook.
617-779-7937 if you want to get in on the conversation. We see your calls right now. We'll get to them after this commercial break. We'll continue the conversation about the Patriots. And there's still half a list of teams.
Yes, there's still more teams, by the way.
That was like three teams and then 10 minutes on why Drake May's good.
I saw that caller, and I was like, we got to take that detour.
Oh, and I love Jeff's takedown of Jimmy and then the comment here in the Twitch chat. Caller on caller crime, the Christmas spirit is gone.
2 days removed from the holiday. That's right, and we're right back to going after each other. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll continue the Drake May and Patriots conversation after Joe Weil gets you caught up on what's trending. That is the ever entertaining musings of Jim Harbaugh from back before the beginning of the NFL season. Just just letting the English language come to him in a way that it can only come to
Jim Harbaugh. Speaking in tongues.
Yes.
He is a maniac, and I'm all for it.
You know how there are some people who you look at and go, thank God they found themselves in the profession that they're in, because otherwise I don't know what the hell this guy would have or woman would have done with their life. That's Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. Like, thank God he was in the right room at the right time to get his first coaching job and move himself up and up and up, because there's nothing else that I could see him doing other than exactly what he's doing.
It's
right
clearly
now.
In the blood, man. I mean, his dad won, I think, like a D2 national championship or something like that at Western Kentucky, or maybe somewhere else. Some school in Kentucky. I'm blanking on it. His brother has been who he's been.
Right.
And then Jim is like the ultimate drink a quart of milk before football practice guy. You know, it's it is hilarious.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. After the first call about Drake May, we've gotten a couple more to defend the quarterback, even though that's nowhere near where we were going during Joe's list. But another Joe in Three Rivers on Drake May. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to point out that Jimmy's actually been a scout for the Patriots for the last 4 years, and he was high on Devin Asiasi.
Man, the caller crime today has been unreal.
Devin Asiasi,
but deserved at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I wanted to say, I think the Pats should trade out of the high pick, and because no matter what position you go for, you could possibly get, even from the 7th or 8th spot, you could possibly get the best player at that position. And we need players at all positions but quarterback. So that's what I think you should do.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for the call. And I want to throw it back to Tom, because we had a couple people respond back to your Travis Hunter opinion right before we went to break. The way that the Patriots would go about the draft in 2025, because unfortunately that's the focus.
That's where
right
we
now.
Are.
It's free agency, it's offseason, it's trades.
Call it what it is.
And it's the draft. So what's your perspective on both sides of the draft in as concisely as you can do it, versus Travis Hunter versus the idea of trading down, recouping assets, and maybe going with breadth of picks versus the second overall pick?
So I understand the argument of trading down to get more picks, but this is a big but. When you're picking number two...
And he cannot lie.
He cannot lie.
Okay.
When you're picking number two, and it's a draft where a guy like Travis Hunter is available, this is not like your run-of-the-mill, top-of-the-draft receiver guy that isn't going to amount to anything. And there's a decade of examples that you could come up with. Look at the teams that haven't had playoff success, and they're the teams that have been drafting receivers in the top 10 that don't amount to anything.
Right.
I think, personally, that Travis Hunter is different. And I think that when you draft a guy like Travis Hunter, when you have a guy like Drake May, that is just a different type of draft pick. It's not the same. You can't comp it the same way as, you know, the Jets drafting Garrett Wilson in the first round when they don't have the rest of their team put together.
Yeah.
It's just different. So if you trade down to 7 or 8 or whatever, I mean, there's so many bad teams here. I'm looking at Tankathon right now. If the Patriots somehow win a game over the next 2 weeks, they could go from 2 to like 10th or 11th.
Right.
So if you do end up have that number 2 spot and trading down, I don't know if I would go receiver at that point. Then I'm going tackle.
Yeah.
Then I'm looking to bolster that pass rush. But if you're at 2, if the Giants are at 1, they're going to go with a quarterback. They need to. Unless they want to do a Saquon Barkley type draft pick again in that draft where they pick the running back and now look at the season he's having, but
yeah,
you know,
and where the franchise is.
Correct.
Yeah.
I have to imagine they're going with Shedeur Sanders or a quarterback, whoever the hot quarterback is at that time. You have to pick Travis Hunter if you're at number 2. I think you have to.
Okay. Okay. Let's go back to the lines. This is Pete in the car. Pete, I'm assuming this is sarcastic, but, how are you either way?
I'm doing fine, fellas. It's actually not sarcastic. I think this year went about as good as I had hoped it could go.
Okay.
Explain.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the logic behind
it. I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, I think I do too.
Go on.
This team is terrible. The over-under at Vegas was 4.5 wins. And I don't understand Patriots fans who are sitting there going like, gee, gosh, we should have won 2 or 3 more. And like you said, you're going from the second pick to the 12th or 13th pick. So as long as they don't screw up the next 2 games, they're going to be great, because this was the year to do a couple things. One is find out if you have the guy quarterback, the most important question in the game. And I had doubts about Drake May because He wasn't as polished of a prospect as, you know, Daniels was, or even Bo Nix playing 50 games. But I'm pretty sure he's going to be pretty good. So you need to answer the most important question. When you do your teams that you'd rather not be, almost every one of them is going to be without a good quarterback or hung with a quarterback with a contract. The second thing is, it's rookies everywhere, including the coaches. This is the year of make your mistakes this year. There never was any downside to making mistakes. Like, make them all. Like, learn from them all. Get them out of your system. This is going to be several years until this team is a really high-caliber playoff team. They're not going to go 10-7 next year unless they have a miracle free agency and a miracle draft. They're probably 2 years away from being really competitive in the AFC East, so right. It's great. They have the number two pick. Bears are ninth. They can swap with them, and Bears have extra picks. Like, they have set themselves up very well. It was always going to be a trash basket year. And the best thing they got is they're in a great draft position.
There you go, Pete. Thanks for the call. And he pretty much hit on every single detail that you could be feeling if you're feeling positive. But, Joe, you were reacting as
yeah,
you were listening.
Yeah, I give a lot of credence to that.
I agree.
To that take. Because what did everybody say going into this season? Well, if the quarterback can get in there and play well and not get hurt, which, knock on wood, two more games, that doesn't happen
right.
in a significant way. That would
constitute a success.
Yes. A successful season.
Now, the caveat here,
and I actually did have a caveat too, but go ahead.
It's that the coaching hasn't looked
exactly
up to snuff.
And that's I think the one. If you perfect is probably not the right word because of that.
Right.
What you're saying.
There's
right there,
positives, yeah. But it's not perfect. Yeah, perfect is not the correct word.
The fact that we still have questions about Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf, as we've talked about here over now, Dan and I specifically the last 2 days, all three of us today. Like, that, we're still having those conversations. So I don't know if it's all perfect. And obviously, three wins, it's not all perfect. But the overarching goal of the year was, let's get Drake May in there, and let's see what he can do, and hopefully he's showing signs of being a franchise-caliber quarterback.
Okay, before we get into the breakdown of what we see from the Chargers, you mentioned in your trending some of the injuries that they are versus not dealing with for tomorrow's game as well. Who else is on your list of you think the Patriots are in a better situation
so we'll get,
than?
Let's recap what we've done so far.
Yeah. All right, so the exercise we were doing are teams that we take the Patriots situation over right now. And what we've already gone through is the Jets, Browns, and Jaguars. So that was three of my seven that were like surefire in my mind. Titans, next on the list.
Absolutely. Right. You have to feel better.
I think so.
Raiders.
Yes.
No question. Could have been first on your list.
Yeah, it probably should have been.
Yeah.
And actually, this team maybe should have been Giants.
Yeah,
of course.
If there's a zero on your list, they should have been there.
And then the other team is the Saints, just because their cap situation is such a mess. You have Derek Carr as your quarterback, who obviously is on the downside.
Yeah, they've been in no man's land for like 5 years. So, yeah. Absolutely.
My probably was Panthers.
That's interesting because they, to me, have an air of the early Dan Campbell Lions right now, where they've really turned it around in the last month. It seems like the Bryce Young benching helped him and did wonders. Chuba Hubbard is a dude, and they're paying him like such.
Yeah.
I think that the Panthers have taken a turn towards, and look, I'm not expecting them to win like 7-8 games next year, but they've at least been feisty with good teams in the last month, and they're trending in that right direction. So I want to say yes, but it's really only just because of Drake May over Bryce Young. And the rest of the situation down in Carolina, and look, it could blow up in a second because Tepper is a maniac.
And that's where I think that pushes me even further in that direction.
But they've looked good on the field.
Yeah.
And also, what is there that's showing us that the leadership that you question with Carolina, there are similar questions that are happening here in New England. I think that's actually a very, very tough comparison to try to weed through, because quarterback, again, both you could argue you've figured out the quarterback position just based on our recent sample size. I think that's fair. That's relatively fair on both sides. Couple highlights, still a lot of work to do with the roster, and a front office and coaching staff that's unproven, has made some mistakes, and still has some question marks about them. So that's a very interesting comparison to weed through, because there are a lot of things that are similar and a lot of, it could kind of, I don't know, Jim, like it could go either way kind of things.
Yeah, and I would take Dave Canales over Gerard Mayo at this point.
Yeah.
But listen, I know people have not been defending Robert Kraft that often. I'll do it in this one instance. David Tepper is a much worse owner than
You're not going out on a limb here.
No,
the guy's had like 14 head coaches in 3 years.
And through
and he's paying all of them.
And right, exactly.
And threw a drink at a fan. Like, remember last?
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mess.
All right. The one that I had was a maybe was the Dolphins.
Interesting. So the Dolphins, see, I see Tua as a guy who is good in the McDaniel system down in Miami. Outside of that, I just don't know if he can be a guy that you build around moving forward. And that's troubling because the guy, like, he can't play in the cold weather. And he's tiny. And he has shown that he puts himself in a position to get concussions. And look, good on him for deciding that he wants to keep playing. Who knows what the longevity is with him. So based on the quarterback position alone, again, I'm going to give the edge to New England. But you could talk me into Miami being a team that you feel better about just based on the recent successes they've had. I think they put up 70 in a game last year, and a lot of those pieces are still there. I do think Tyreek Hill is on the other side of the hill, no pun intended, now. I think you've seen that in recent weeks. He also seems like he's the type of guy that kind of gives up when he realizes that they're not going to be a Super Bowl contending team. You saw that happen last year, too.
And it's happening this year. He's been, like, teasing his totally retirement on Instagram.
His tweets have been so
bizarre. Like, maybe I should get into coaching after Mike Vick gets the Norfolk State job.
Right.
So, by the way, I wish you said no pun intended. You could have sold that.
So, yeah, I'm going with the Pats over the Dolphins, but that one's a lot closer.
And it's those, while I see Carolina being a very similar comp, those are worlds apart where I just feel like you know exactly what the high water mark is for Miami as a unit. You know they're a good when healthy regular season team, potentially potent offense when, again, everybody's healthy in the early months of the regular season.
Yeah, in perfect weather, yes.
And when you're home, but then when you have to go on the road, either in the regular season or in the playoffs in December into January and play a meaningful game, it's tough because I think you know exactly what's going to happen. You know there's going to be a flame out at some point. And that's also why I think a team like, and I saw this was mentioned by a texter and it came up, Dallas, I think is a really interesting point of conversation because you have players that you like. You know, the conversation around Micah Parsons is a fascinating one. You have your wide receiver. You have a quarterback. You have a very highly paid regular season merchant quarterback that hasn't won a thing and largely shrinks in the playoffs any chance he gets. And a coach that, after winning in 2010, has kind of rode a reputation for the last 15 years, Aaron Rodgers, but a coach that has a lot that's riding on a championship that happened a long time ago. So even with a team like Dallas in a similar conversation to Miami, so much money has been spent for a core that I think you can poke a million and one holes in terms of a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So if you prefer the flexibility and a quarterback that still has something to prove, I don't know. Dallas is one of those kind of tweeners for me as well.
Yeah, a couple teams that I just didn't want to put on this list. I thought about it, but didn't end up going there. Indianapolis, I might be on an island here. I still hold out hope for Anthony Richardson just because the physical talents are so, like, crazy ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I didn't put him there. Dallas is a super interesting one. I also didn't – San Francisco – I'm just looking at, like, Tankathon right now, too.
Yeah.
San Francisco's got a lot of question marks, but if they keep Kyle Shanahan for whatever criticisms he might have about all of the playoff disasters, he's still a great coach.
He's also getting you in those positions.
For sure. For sure.
Okay. That's the end of the list.
That's it.
The interesting – you have Tankathon up right now, right?
Yes.
The difference between the Patriots going 0-2 and 1-1 over these next two games is seismic.
It's huge. It's crazy.
It is remarkable how much suck there is in the NFL this year. Like, even you can count on one hand your elite Super Bowl contenders, I think. It's, you know, Bills, Chiefs, Lions, Packers, Ravens, maybe? And
I'd
that's
put the Ravens in there.
That's kind of where the list goes, but if you're counting the teams that stink, that blow, it's going to take at least the 10 fingers you have. You might need to expand a toes.
Yeah, half the league is under 500.
I can't believe the Bears. What's happened with the Bears? They were 4-2. They're 4-12.
Yeah, I think a lot of that was schedule fool's gold. I also think the Bears had that Hard Knocks bump. People were excited about Caleb Williams. They were going to be a worse team than they were projected.
But I think the Washington game and what happened in that, it just completely, it all went downhill.
Big deflator. Yeah. Absolutely.
Man, I mean, Arizona, Dallas, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Miami at 7-8, San Francisco at 6-9, New Orleans at 5-10, the Jets and Carolina 4-11, Chicago now 4-12, and then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams at 3-12, and somehow the Giants, who also, I will add, went from 2-3 to 2-13, having lost 10 in a row, are now ahead of the pack on Tankathon, which actually seems to mean a lot more this year. But regardless, you can join the conversation, 617-779-7937. You can call us, you can text us. We have a couple calls on the line that we'll get to on the other side of this commercial break as we return with more WEEI Afternoons after this. Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we're taking you up until 6 o'clock this evening here on WEEI. Well, myself and Joe are... We're unfortunately bidding Tom adieu in just a couple of moments. Today was quite the day in the Carroll household to be jumping in and filling in for a fill-in on the radio, huh?
Yeah. So the one party that we have a year is tonight. So today was, I took today off. I was just going to help my wife get the house ready.
Yeah.
And then I got a text from our boss at 8 a.m. asking me to fill in. So I was like, can I please? She gave me the green light. So, yeah. Morgan, thank you very much.
Ah, there you go.
And so now we're here. And yeah, I'm taking off here in a little bit to head back down to Rhode Island and get the party squared away before people start showing up and tapping that beer.
Love that.
Got the keg. So
we, really?
That's how big this party gets. Yeah, it's legit.
Okay, so give me a rough head count.
40-ish?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Are keg stands involved here?
If we're being smart, I'd say yes.
Well, with a couple of minutes remaining with you before we bid you adieu, news coming out within the hour that starting center Ben Brown has been ruled out for tomorrow's game. He's been in concussion protocol during the course of the week. So you look at the center position without Ben Brown, Tom. Where would you go? What would you want to see if you were calling the shots for New England at that spot?
So I think it's going to end up being Cole Strange. And I think that they need to use the last part of this season to see what you have in Cole Strange.
Yeah.
And Mayo has said things to that effect about a lot of the younger guys on this roster. You kind of need to see what you got with these guys in this part of the year that doesn't, quote, matter towards winning a playoff game, go into the playoffs, etc.
Right.
They know they're out of it. So you got to know who you got on the roster. Cole Strange has been there for a few years. He was a first round pick. We all know the story about how everyone had him graded as like a third rounder, fourth rounder. The Rams were laughing about it at their draft day press conference. So Cole Strange, he showed some promise when he's been on the field. He's shown some improvement, but this year we haven't seen him play at all. So they've been saying that Cole Strange is a guy that they think can play center. So now this is a great opportunity for them to see if he actually can do that.
I like this quote when this was talked about, he was asked about it. He said, I'm fired up for the opportunity, honestly. He said, I feel like I've been working for this for a year now. I'm just excited for the opportunity. I mean, I wonder if a big part of that is he's just happy to be back on the field.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's been a battle for him to get back, throughout the season. Whenever the organization has been asked, okay, where's Cole Strange's progress at? It always seems to come with like this sigh of like, man, we wish this guy was out here. And I think that part of it is them just feeling bad for him, but also them being like, man, we wish we knew what we had.
Right.
So it's going to be him or Lasitas Smith, who is kind of just a journeyman type guy. So I'd rather you see Strange and what you have with Strange than just throwing Lasitas Smith out there because you know he can play center. Like, let's see what the first round pick can do. And if he's going to be this guy that is like this versatile lineman that can play all these positions, let's see if he can do one of them.
617-779-7937. Couple calls before we wrap up the Patriots talk for this hour. John is in the car. How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing good. I just want to say one thing. You guys said something kind of dangerous before the previous commercial break. You said this season is a success because of how Drake May is doing. And I think that is so completely wrong.
Okay.
I think that's the mindset of loser fan bases. And You can call the Drake May pick so far to this point a success. And everything else pretty much in this season has been a complete and utter failure.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Honestly, fair, John. And if we framed it as this season is a success, that was a failure by us. I agree with you that this season has been a failure. But Drake May is awesome. So you see the improvement of the most important position on the team over the last 6 weeks or so. And you look at the way the future of this franchise can be with a guy like that under center, and you have to have the glass half full, at least at that position. And it's the most important position. So I agree with you. The coaching has been bad. You've seen regression across the board, but with Drake May playing the way he has played and this team now in a position to maybe add another top five pick, that's where if people want to say that this season is a success or, you know, where they're happy about it, you can see where they're coming from. I would not call this a success. That's the wrong word.
Success. Yeah, I think success. You're right. I think it's the wrong word, but I'm not willing to completely waver on the idea of like that the season has shown at least some of the promise that we hoped going into the year. You know, again, I think the overarching thing we had hoped was, is the guy they drafted as a quarterback going to, is he going to show us promise? And again, knock on wood, two games, stay healthy to get through the season and have us all saying, wow, this guy has some incredible upside and he's already showing just good play on the field as well. I don't know. I'm not willing to say it's a complete failure. And I know, I understand like the loser mentality part of it. I get it. The part I'll push back a little bit. And again, this isn't to shield Jerod Mayo and Elliott Wolf for all we've talked about on this show. The coaching has not been good. The draft was pretty bad. I mean, not pretty bad. It was bad, yeah, outside of the Drake May pick. But again, we've seen the promise there. It's the most important position. And at least there is a path forward with this team. So, and also on top of that, nobody predicted this team to be good. I think it'd be one thing if people really genuinely thought this team could push close to like 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah,
everybody had them around this spot. It was 4.5 was the win total.
Correct. Yes.
I'd like to see them get 4. You know, just because you to compare it to last year and say at least they hit the win total from last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of want them to get the number 2 pick, but yeah.
That's fair. But
I'd like them to play well in these last 2 weeks, but
like
if they can stay at three wins, I'm not mad.
If the two games look like the Buffalo game last weekend.
Exactly.
I'm not willing to, yeah, again, and just to fit, like just to completely encapsulate my point, like I'm not willing to sit here and say, wow, like what a season, you know, like what a year. But everybody knew this team was not going to be good.
Right.
And at least the most important position seems to have been taken care of.
Okay. We do have to take a break to get to hour number 4. We also have to let our good friend Tom go. So before we let you go, where can we follow you? Where can we read your work? Where should we be connecting with you?
You can follow me on X at ya boy TC Fresh. That's YABOI TC Fresh.
Nice.
There's a story behind that for another day.
Yeah.
It's probably easier if you just search my name, Tommy Freeze Pops. Also,
I'm
another
sure there's
story
also
for another
a story,
day.
Yeah.
So you can find me on X.
I meant
there
to ask about that one.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, we'll do that another time.
All right.
And yeah, that's where I post all my work for WEEI.com. That's where you can read me. I'll have your ups and downs column from tomorrow's game shortly after the game ends there. And I'll also be writing up the Pinstripe Bowl for Boston College. You can read that at some point Sunday morning because I got to watch that game after the Pats game.
Right.
Back at home. I think that might look a little bit uglier for the Eagles than it would have a day ago, now that their best offensive lineman and their All-American, consensus All-American defensive end Donovan Ezeraku not playing in the game. Makes sense. Both guys have NFL aspirations. Go get your money. It just stinks given that those are arguably your two best players. Inarguably, Ezeraku is your best player.
Right.
So, I don't know. If you like Nebraska -4, you might want to invest in that, is what I'm saying. But I'd love
sprinkle
to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up a BC fan. My dad went to BC, so I was born into that curse. I'd love for them to win tomorrow, but we'll see. But yes, you can read me at WEI.com this weekend.
Beautiful. Coverage of that game, by the way, begins at 11:30 tomorrow here on the station after the Football Sunday pregame show, and kickoff is at noon for that one as well. So.
And that broadcast team, for my money, is among the best in the city.
Yeah.
They do a great job. John Meter-Perel is an excellent play-by-play guy. So
wow,
shout out to them.
Checks in the mail for you after that one. But it's been a pleasure, A, to meet you after sharing a social media friendship for a couple weeks. But enjoy your family party. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
I want to see the pics of the keg stand. If
yeah. The video, and maybe we'll get a picture of the Arcan Hospital bracelet from you this time around.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Hour number four coming up next.